Welcome to Starfleet Universe Encore. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SMB online, then come online as Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, I have joined by a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either stream, join us with a streaming on the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just join us over there at SFU On Call Stream, that voice channel, and you'll be able to listen to us and also join in the actual talking. If you want the invite, there's an invite actually on the sfuoncall.com website. Also, if you want to watch my beautiful face live streaming on Twitch, yes, go to twitch.tv/sfuoncall. You can chat there and watch me live stream on that platform. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on the Twitters. You can follow me on the podcasting account, which is sfuoncall. My personal account, which is Paul France, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And of course, there's also my business account, which is France Games, FranzGames. And as usual, I have a Blue Sky account. That's sfuoncall.bsky.social. And also franzgames.com. And of course, lovely Talkcast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news at ADB this week. Patrick was working on Module K, doing some updates there. The 3D printed ship contract was being worked on by Albert and Steve. And I think it's almost ready to go, if not ready to go. Steve worked on the Romulan Civil War scenario for the Civil War's F&E product. And so we're waiting on the Somata Rumors of War to be actually sent out, because my understanding is very, very, very close. If it's not close, then just waiting for them to push the button. And of course, this week on Final Online Store, we have the F&E counter sheet I plus J from FO, I forget what that means, Fighter Operations, that's what it is. Okay, and that's $8. This sheet has 280 counters covering carriers, escorts from the Federation, Klingons, Romulans, Zindis, Gorn, Tholians, the Orions. The Orions do have, carriers, don't they? Lyrans and Hydrans. This is a 2015 reprint of the sheet, expanding the number of counters, including eliminating carrier groups counters and reorganizing the mix to better reflect what players actually want to build. Moving onward and forward to the SFU Online tournaments, we have, of course, Sapphire Star 19 tournament, which has had run into an issue with Seth conceding. But it seemed like it was conceded a little bit early, the way it was felt. So that's, it has been decided that Jeff, who was the winner, the victor in that one, will have to play a wild card game against Hardcore, which is, Carl Magnus. It's going to be IC versus the RKR. I give them 2 weeks. There's a 2 week deadline on this, people. Because we're supposed to be dealing with the alliance, and actually we'll be talking about that later on in the podcast. And of course, we have the 500 BPP tournament. Justin were not able to do anything last weekend, just because I just did not have time, to be honest. It's other things that I had to focus on. And mostly had to do with my secular Franciscans, so that we had no chance there. And we wanted to have the possibility of doing it Sunday night, but the problem is he's West Coast time, I'm East Coast time, and that will not work at all, given that I have to basically play really late and I get up really early, so that didn't work out. Well, we'll figure out something, hopefully, in the near future. Possibly even over the Thanksgiving holiday. You never know. I might be able to play on Friday of Thanksgiving. That'd be good. I'm not sure what his plans are. But anyway, moving onward and forward. Nothing when it comes to online clients. The library, oh, the Starfleet Willard, we have Die-Hard 58 and 59 are doing well. Actually, on 58, no, 59, we have one more player that got knocked out. Then we have two players that are no longer playing. One with real life, the other one's actually dead, because they got killed. I'll be announcing the standard game this weekend because I've been putting it off, and forgive me, I got busy last weekend. Now comes the library report for this week. Not much going on with the SFB or the FedCom library. No updates, no changes. So with that is news for this week. And it's me, Ashley, one and all of you, Paul friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we got me. And that's it for this evening, unless somebody decides to join us a little bit later, which is perfectly fine. Hey, if you come and join us on the Starfleet Universe online Discord server, that would be great. Just remember, it's the SFU On Call stream, so that's what we use to stream on. And of course, if you want to, you can join us over on Twitch. This evening, the topic for the evening actually has to do with something. If you're not paying attention to discourse, sorry, discuss board, that ADB has, it's really old. And if you've ever had problems getting to it, that's probably because of your browser says, no, you need to use HTTPS. No, that software on the running on the server is so old, it can't support HTTPS. I'm not sure why, it just can't. I have no clue why. It's possibly just a configuration setting, but it can't work at the moment. So Rhino, there might be no configuration. I might assume that and there was no such thing as HTTPS, and it's like, oh, I always want to just HTTP. So anyhow, moving on and forward on that, which is the controversy that's been going on, which is basically, uh-oh, excuse me, I think I heard someone come in. Oh, yes, we do have Russ. Russ came in and joined us. Hey, Russ. Right now he's muted, so he doesn't. Not talking now. The controversy basically was that Seth basically blew up. I think I might have talked about it last week. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did. That he got mad because of Jeff was having him do these crazy late hours, and he was just going to concede the game. Now, of course, the biggest issue with that whole situation was number one. Okay, number one, I didn't stay on top of the game. That number one, that you have 2 weeks, and unfortunately, though, when it comes to that, it's not really stated in the rules. I'm pretty sure it's not stated. I'd have to double check the mailings that I send out, for the mailing list, and whether I state that the rounds are two-week rounds, or are supposed to be 2 week rounds. And if they was, I was not being very good about keeping the 2 weeks. That was my fault. But then after that, the issue was that Seth did not communicate his frustration at what was happening. And of course, what's the number one thing that everyone who's playing in the online tournament is supposed to do? And people keep doing this, and it drives the judges nuts. And I know as a player, I do my best to try to keep the judge involved, which is you're supposed to CC the judge in any communication with the other player. The reason why we have that in place, that why you need to be doing that is so that we know what is going on. If we don't know what's going on, then How are we supposed to react to it if we don't know what's going on? So that was another thing that happened. So what A to B did, which was they had a meeting, what happened was, okay, they had a meeting on a board meeting on Monday. They talked about the tournament and different things, different aspects to the tournament. I'm not sure. Okay, yeah. They actually are announcing, they are actually as part of this update, which it'll be sent me directly. I'm assuming that they'll be posting this also someplace else, but Steve Cole sent this to me directly. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. If I'm supposed to post this, probably I think I'll post this as part of SFB Online. There's gonna be a web page for this, which is the tournament rules update. The people know what the rules are, possibly, and so forth. They had a meeting. I was part of, they came up with some points. I gave my input on those points. After they had the meeting, the next day I gave some input, and including my suggestions about how to improve, encourage people to join the tournament. So we're going to go through these so that people will know, what the changes are, and also probably discuss the changes. Good, do we think it's good? Think it's bad? I think it's all good, because in some cases I think it needed to be explicitly stated what the rules were, so that people can follow them. And of course, then as Steve Cole said it himself, if we could just play nicely, where people were respectful of everybody's time and so forth, that'd be great. But obviously, when it comes to even a tournament, even if there wasn't any money involved, and this one doesn't have that much money, it does have money, but not that much money, that people, just have a hard time sticking to that, but anyway, okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch this so that you can, for those of you on the video, can actually read the rules if you want to. I will be going through them so that people on the podcast will actually be able to hear them and know them. Okay. Tournament rules update. The board of directors of ADB have met on the 18th. Of this, that's 2 days ago. This is Tuesday, so they had an update on Tuesday. That's where I gave some input on Monday, I think. Anyway, to review certain issues regarding the tournament read reports, this is to the tournament community. Number one, effective and enjoyable continuation of the Starfleet Battle Sapphire Star tournament system is a priority for the company. The board takes note, but the Sapphire Star system was created because of the previous consumer comments that the time deadlines should be enforced and not allowed to drag on for months. So that's one of the reasons why it was created. Actually, that was I think part of that was, of course, the number one thing, which was to encourage people to play on Starfleet battles and continue the tournaments. And that's why we actually had Steve Patrick being the judge, because in the past years, before the Sapphire Star tournament, for those who don't remember, for those who maybe not been involved in the different rated ace tournaments of SFB Online, those tournaments were run by, usually it's like the previous winner would be the judge for the next tournament. And that they were supposed to keep things going. Now, that's why they created the Sapphire Star tournament. They said, okay, no, we're gonna do this with Patrick. Is gonna be the tournament marshal, and he's gonna run the tournaments. Then of course we had his illnesses and so forth, which made it hard for him to keep the tournaments running and so forth while he faces medical issues. And that's why they asked for someone to be the tournament judge, basically. As claimed as a deputy tournament marshal at that point. I've been demoted to tournament judge because of my actions. And that's fine because I think I deserve it. So, I was not keeping up to snuff in my responsibilities. But anyway, moving onward and forward, states here, Paul France will continue to be as the tournament judge. So I am still the tournament judge. Patrick is still the tournament marshal, and Albert Bodeau, those of you who don't know who Albert Bodeau is, he will be joining as the deputy tournament marshal. These three will be comprised of the board of judges. Now, but Albert Bodeau is actually, he joined the company. Basically, he married into the company. Let's put it that way. Gene Sexton, he married Gene Sexton, is what he did. They fell in love and things like that, which is fantastic. It's great. And so now Albert is more involved, very involved in the way the company is run. As if you hadn't noticed, for those of you who listen and heard the news portion, of course, one of the things that he's been actively working on, which is basically with Steve Cole, is the contracts for the new 3D print company. So he's actively being involved, and actually, if you watch and read any of the blog, the quote unquote blog, for the company, Steve Cole has been helping with Albert to help to teach him how to run the company. My guess is just in case he dies or anything like that, I'm not sure the arrangements and so forth, because I'm sure that what happens, the arrangements change since before Albert actually was entered the picture. Now, moving onward forward, number three, which is the deadlines will continue to be enforced as before. 3 weeks for round one, 2 weeks for all the rest of the, well, but two and three and four. Obviously, the finals, there is no deadline. The tournament judge, the deputy tournament marshal, or the chief tournament marshal may extend any given tournament for one, or unusual case, one additional week, in order to accommodate emergency or other requiring adjustments. Players should not expect such extension to be granted automatically, and the tournament judge or marshal may resolve the game by judicial decree, i.e., adjudication, if they exceed the scheduled deadlines. Now, in my mind, the current tournament, to get it back on track, I've got the wild card game, which is going to be Jeffrey Clark and Carl Magnus, and I forget his last name at the top of my head. And they're going to be played out. Actually, that was one thing I forgot to do, which is I need to post that in the discussion board saying, okay, I quote unquote picked. To be honest, what I did, there's two people from round two, because I feel like round two is where I really should select the person, the people. So I went, okay, we're going to do round two because they're very least, they have won. And they proved that they belong in the tournament, and they weren't just they signed up and were cannon fodder. And that's definitely not someone that Jeff Clark should be playing against. So I had David Zimbars and had Carl Magnus, I forget his last name. And actually, what I did is I rolled a dice. I rolled a physical dice. I was not gonna do this electronically. I actually went down to my basement, picked out, grabbed one of the dice from my bag, rolled it, and went, okay, it's called Magnus. So it was random, but it was from the round two selections. So I figured that, I think that was the best way of doing it, the most fair way to do it. So, because in theory, I probably would have liked actually David Zimbars to do it, but I didn't feel like it was fair of me just to say, oh, no, he should have a better one and now give us a better chance of actually completing the game in the time allotted. So I went, no, that would not be fair to Carl Magnus. So I rolled the dice, and that's why Carl Magnus was selected, just to let you know the actual process that I used, that it was, in my mind, as fair can be. So if you have an argument with it, talk to God. Next, which was actually any player who sees a violation of the rules by his opponent, is responsible to notify the tournament judge and may also choose to notify the marshals, judges, and the company, or other company officials. Players can be responsibly expected to handle such violations privately with the judges, not by public displays of rancor, i.e., Seth. Related to, of course, what I just mentioned earlier with the Seth's post, that he went off, as a public display without notifying any judge, either me or R. Cole, or even I'm not sure he even tried to contact Steve Petrick. The judges and the company cannot be faulted or not enforcing violations which are not reported to them. Hello? This is why, again, this is why I need, as the tournament judge, to be CC'd on those emails. I know you're used to just talking back and forth as a private, like almost DMs, but no, I need to be included in those emails. Guys, if I can to handle any situation, I need to be involved before it goes, the player feels like he needs to go ballistic. So if I'm not being responsive, then obviously the idea is that you bring it up to Steve Patrick and possibly Steve Cole, but more possibly Albert. Obviously, we will need to have I gotta check with ADB about what is going to be Albert's email address at ADB. I'm sure he has one, so that people can feel like they can actually contact him about tournament issues if I'm not being responsive enough. And of course, there's sometimes I can't be responsive. Guess why? Because I'm not near my computer, for example. And next, I'm gonna be on vacation. I'm going out camping. Starting Monday, I'm not sure I'll have any access to the internet whatsoever. I might have some. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much I'll be checking, so I won't always be available. That's just gonna be that is that's life, just to let you know, and I'll check with Steve Cole about about the whole Albert email situation. Let's keep that in mind. Now, one thing that was modified was that this is number six, the limit of 5 minutes of energy allocation provided by module T has been extended to 10 minutes for online games only. Because of, in theory, you have all the time in the world. No, you don't have all the time in the world. But, people need to follow certain time limits when it comes to EAs. Now, as pointed out here, players may mutually agree on minor extensions for their convenience. But this is a courtesy a player may extend to his opponent, not a right which a player can assume or demand. And then I will talk about the violation and what will happen. Most probably, this might actually come to bring games to a halt, and because it has to involve the tournament judge. But so just a reminder that this is like the previous decision made many years ago at this point, probably maybe 10 years ago at this point, possibly larger, which was when we had this whole discussion, this whole controversy of pure impulse activity versus call for fire. It's the same rudimentary issue at core, which is if players agree to use pure impulse activity, i.e., you don't use like the dizzy dev announcement step to say call for fire, then you have it so you just do your announcements of your fire and that's it. That's what's called pure impulse activity, PIA. If two players can't agree to use that, then the default is call for fire. That is what was decided many years ago. So this is the same thing, which is unless the players agree beforehand, or possibly later on in the game, you can do it later on in the game, as long as both players agree for an extension beyond 10 minutes, which I don't know why you'd need more than 10 minutes unless you have some issues, i.e., while you're doing a bathroom break, you have to have a, and during energy allocation, you have to have a bathroom break, or you have to deal with some local issue. But again, you need to tell the person what's going on. Okay? So, and obviously, actually, I don't think they're mentioning this at all when it comes to that. I don't see any mention about it, which is, of course, be that people should be respectful of other people's time. That when you are playing online, you got to tell everyone around you that you're playing online, and that's where your focus is going to need to be. You there should there's an expectation. So unless there's an quote unquote emergency, like for example, you have a young daughter and she spills milk all over the floor, over the kitchen, well, has it on the table, it spills and it goes all every place. And you have to clean it up. It's like that's kind of a minor emergency that happens. And that's life, that happens. But don't have the expectation that you'll be able to do two things at once, i.e., play online and make dinner, things like that, or have dinner, an actual sit down dinner while you're playing online. That is disrespectful for the other person that actually you're playing with. So don't do it. People didn't mention that. Actually, I might actually bring that up. Just as a reminder, when it comes to in during intern play. So, getting back to the energy allocation thing, give me a sec here. Need to get some water because my throat was getting dry. Now, okay, when it comes to violating the EA, as in the 10-minute deadline, first violation, a warning by the aggrieved player. I am the person that you that's not has has completed their EA within the time limit, and they're waiting for the other player to finish their energy allocation. Now, that there's the, so first there has to be a warning for the first time that happens. Now, unfortunately, he didn't specify exactly how to do this when it comes to a single turn. Because if my get my after the first violation, as in you've extended past the 10 minutes, there'll be a warning. If you don't complete, I think within the next 5 or 10 minutes, pretty quickly, in that case, or if you do it again and for the next turn or another turn in the future. Then that would be considered a second violation. A warning by the aggrieved player with a specific notice given to the tournament judge, i.e., the Greek player needs to contact the tournament judge at this point to tell them that this is happening. Third violation, if the other player keeps on doing this, the tournament judge will impose a penalty of 5 damage points to be distributed by the offending player, as in the normal damage allocation, to internal boxes of a ship at the selection of that player. So the offending player gets to choose 5 boxes from their ship to destroy. Now, if you continue to do this, the fourth violation, 5 damage points bind to the offending player ship will distribute via the DAC. So it'll be totally random. 5, it could be weapons, could be control systems, could be power. You don't know. So if you continue this on. Now, the fifth violation, the judge will terminate the game, and the offending player will forfeit the victory to the aggrieved player. So, if the fourth violation and having basically 10 internals applied to the offending player's ship is not enough to wake the person up. Obviously, and this is the fifth violation. So, guys, if you got to the fifth violation, what the heck are you doing? Because, it's nuts. Okay, now, tournament judges may use lost boxes penalties above in other situations also, which the judges feel want suspended. This is intended to avoid situations in which the only action judge has available is to declare a forfeit. So, if I or on the other judges feel like that might be too harsh on the fifth violation instead of the forfeit, you can actually have more penalties, more lost boxes. Trust me, after 10 internals, I don't think you want more internals, to be honest. Because you're starting, it starts getting hurt, it'll start hurt. The next one, which is players can not be expected or forced to commence a game session at unreasonable times, such as after 10 p.m. now and before 8 a.m. Now, okay. This is given that if that's assuming, and there's an assumption here, and I and A to B didn't they assume unreasonable times. I don't think these times are really can be hard stone. Here's the reason why I say that. It depends upon the person's sleep schedule. This assumes that this person has a normal sleep schedule, i.e., they get up somewhere between what 5 and 8 in the morning, and they go to bed somewhere between 9 to 11. That to me is assumption of what is stated here. Because if a person actually normally is like a third shifter, where they actually are available during the day, and they might be, and they might have a day off of work. Let's say they have a day off of work, and normally they're awake at that hour anyway. That would be fine, I think, in that case. But it would be an unreasonable time for most people. Okay, obviously he's not. AB has not thought about all the possible crazy situation that could possibly happen, and that's understandable. But the whole idea is that when the person should be sleeping, normally is sleeping, you shouldn't expect the person to be awake and playing a game with you if you're not possibly in the same situation. Or during hours, the player is required to be be at his real world employment. Of course, this also assumes that the person is employed full time and have a regular schedule. Again, there's some assumptions there. The whole idea is that being unreasonable for the time the person usually is working or doing something, or at the very least, sleeping, and depends upon what the person's normal work schedule is, and that's kind of, I think that's covered there. Any player may grant his opponent other starting times at their mutual agreement, but no player can be bullied into an unreasonable starting time. And again, if those players that are in communication via email actually communicate this, what's going on with the judge involved, as in you're copying the judge, hopefully the judge, i.e. me, or whoever else might be involved, will see this and go, no, you will, if the person says, I'll be fast asleep at that time, or I got, I can't play past 9, starting at 9 o'clock, because I need to get up, and because I start work, I do work really early, so I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And hopefully the judge will see that and put a stop to it quickly. But it's up to the players, because I'm sure the players will talk online during after the game and say, okay, when's a good time for you? The judge can't be expected to be there. But so that's, you have to have at least reasonable starting times, and so forth. But always remember to keep the judge involved in communications when you can. If two players cannot agree on a schedule, they should contact a judge. Hi. To consider options such as rearranging the tree or the schedule or replacing a player. In such cases, a player may be given a free pass in a later tournament at the discretion of the Board of Judges. So, just to let you know that, yeah, if you can't, guys can't work out a reasonable time for both of you, then, in theory, you got my one of you's got to be replaced. My guess is, yeah, one would have to be replaced, and whatever one I think is my guess is that we'd look at the Board of Judges would look to see who is being less reasonable. Person say, oh, well, we need to start playing at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like, for one player's time, because it depends upon the time zones. Because as was pointed out in the controversy that's been happening on the discuss board, that is that we got Jeff, who is in Tokyo, Japan. Which for me in the Eastern Standard Time is currently a 14-hour difference, which is always interesting. I say interesting because also I'm East Coast, which is like when it comes to, I forget, I think it's 13 hours or 13 and a half. It's always half hour because I'm thinking of India time because I've worked with individuals who actually work in India. And Lord knows, every once in a while I see a post from them and it's like 12 noon my time. I'm going, why in the world are you awake? You should be asleep. You go to bed, go to bed, jeez, go to bed. I appreciate it in some cases, but I don't like, no. I think that's nuts.
Night owls of the world unite.
Yeah, well,
You could have your own club and call it Hooters. Oh, wait. So, yeah.
just
What?
really. Well, actually, the funny thing is that my daughter, she is, they, you know, they depends upon the day. A lot of times they're up around between midnight and like their uptime is like midnight to like 10 o'clock in the morning, and they go back and then they go to bed then. You know, they have a very flexible schedule, unfortunately. I think unfortunately, because that part of that is that they don't have a steady job, so it makes it harder. I'm hoping, you know, that she'll see the vocation that she is truly is lays before her, and fix that. But anyway, so moving on, running forward, the board of judges re reviewed. Now this is dealing directly with this controversy, with one of the games. So the board of judges reviewed the plasma versus plasma question that came up with company officials that was being discussed, and decided there's going to be no change to the rules. And that is, games that must be completed within the deadlines. If both players are happy with the situation, no one can complain that the game took an unusual number of turns. Let plasma be plasma, i.e., this case, it took 20 turns. Now, they did it within for us, as long as they can play as many turns as they want. The key here is that you get it done within the time limit, i.e., 2 weeks. If you get done within 2 weeks, we don't care. We don't care about the number of turns you do. Now, if you run into an issue where you're running out of time in that time limit, and the judgment has to be placed, obviously that will force one or both players to change their playing style. Now, I understand from my understanding is from that game that it was basically because of the one person's playing the TKE, and we've already discussed this topic on, I think, last week's podcast about how the big problem is the number of large torpedo tubes that the TKE has versus the RKR, you know, and the timings and so forth. So that is that. Number 10, and this is specifically to the controversy with Seth. Jeffrey Clark will have to replay the disrupted game against a wild card selected by moi, says Paul Franz. That's me. Hi. Who will adjust the schedule appropriately, which is what I'm doing, says Szymanski. Having resigned from the disrupted game, cannot be this wild card player because he conceded. Jeffrey is expected specifically one not to repeat the actions. I'll get to that. Which disrupted the game. Seth Szymanski will be given a free pass to the Sapphire Star 20 tournament, as in it's a free, he does not have to pay to be in. But it is noted that he failed, hidden his obligation to contact a judge when the problems began. Players should not benefit from violating the rules or failing to follow judicial protocols. And lastly, which is there's a change in the way that starting with Sapphire Star 20 tournament, which I'm gonna be, it's one thing I forgot to announce in the news portion, which is I will be announcing Sapphire Star 20 tournament. I'm doing signups for that starting this weekend, so that we can get that all set lined up for the next tournament as quickly as possible. But it, to be noted that Sapphire Star 20 and 20 and possibly future tournaments, which is to players who have not played. Now this is means this is these are new players. Not played a Sapphire Star tournament during 2024 or 2025. So in other words, if you've not played in the past 2 years, but you have played before, oh, he didn't put it in here. Oh, there it is. No, notice this will not affect the prize fund. That is AB is buying 4 tickets. Seth's free pass, well, in addition to these four. So basically, there are going to be four prepaid passes for the Sapphire 2021, which are going to be paid for by ADB themselves. So that if you have not played in the past 2 years, and when it comes to Sapphire Star 20 tournament, and definitely and also is going to happen for 21, if you want to join, if you want to come and play the game, you will be able to do it for free. Now, to be honest, some of these people have credit in the ADB's online store. They have credit for playing it possibly anyway, but this is to encourage those two who weren't who basically are not better, not for a better term, might have been considered cannon fodder, people that didn't play that well and kept on being knocked out. So they, since they never won the round one game, they never got the prize money for winning the first game. Going to round two is basically $10, you know. So that, because of that, if you won your first round, then you already got a kind of a free pass for the next tournament. So those who never won that first round or haven't won the first round game for a while due to other factors, for example, hi, that'd be me. I kept on losing the first round game. Now, unfortunately, I can't play. That'd be kind of cool, but I'm not, because I'm the judge. So you're going to say something, Doug?
No, go on.
Okay. So that is the announcement from ADB. I will be when sent out the mailing this weekend. I will be definitely mentioning to those to everyone that's a part of my the AD my sorry it's SFB Online mailing list that those people who have not played in 2024 or 2025 when it comes to the Sapphire Star tournament, which means people, new people that have joined SFB Online and have played, and they want to be part of the tournament, they can play for free. For their first tournament, they can play for free. So if you play in 2020, in the 20 Sapphire Star 20 tournament, and you get knocked out of the first round, and you got the free ticket, the next game, sorry, you won't get a free ticket. You have to pay for it if you want to join it. But hopefully, the idea of this is that with a free ticket and you get involved again, that you'll hopefully have an enjoyable time and want to come back and continue to play in the next tournament. So I 20 joined, got a free pass for 20. You might be willing to put up $10, which remember, good grief, people. $10 is not that much. I'm sure you spend that kind of money on buying coffee each week. For those of you who commute or really like Starbucks coffee, why? I don't know. I'm sorry. Starbucks coffee to me, they
Blah.
burn the beans. If that's supposed to be quote unquote dark roasted, quote unquote, or for a kind of espresso type flavor, no, I'm sorry, they're burnt.
It's Cajun. It's
It's what?
Cajun coffee. Cajun coffee.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, because when it comes to coffee, because I actually have a local coffee place that actually imports the beans themselves and roasts them themselves. Now, me and my wife have a different opinion when it comes to the roasting process. I think the smell is a very vile smell of it roasting. I love the smell of roasted coffee beans. I love that smell. But the roasting of the coffee beans themselves, that roasting process, to me is not that pleasant. But the taste of those beans versus Starbucks, totally different. I'm sorry. Starbucks tastes like their bread. So, if you want, bust me, feel free to email me, sfuallcall@gmail.com. Be feel free to Then email me there. And you can tell me I'm wrong every which way till Sunday. Now remember, today's only Thursday, so you still got a few more days. So everything to say, Doug, or it's just
Just nah. You mean about coffee?
no. Because I'm not sure. Are do you drink coffee?
Oh
You do.
yeah. I do like whatever's cheap, pretty
Oh,
much.
jeez.
But no, I do the filtered thing.
Okay. Oh, because.
I used to do instant coffee, but since I've been living here at the hotel thing, I just got a coffee pot thing at a thrift store, and I've been doing the filtered coffee thing. Like I'll go for something nice if it's on sale, but I'm not, and it's like I've learned the hard way that store brand, skip that. Just look for a bargain that's something that's got a decent name to it. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm up.
Gamers Winners eventually coming up. Give me your
Yeah.
schedule.
Okay,
That'll
will
be
do.
you
I know.
specifically.
But yeah, when it comes to coffee, I'm sorry, my wife originally drank Folgers coffee, and she always had to put lots of stuff into it. And then she actually got, she found, she stopped by the place I'm talking about. It's a place called Max Cream, is for those of you in the Reading area. They're located currently in the Shillington Farmers Market. They originally were on Pricetown Road, heading out of town, but they moved to actually they had a great location. They have a fantastic location, I thought. And they had a nice big shop, but basically the problem, I my guess, the problem is that things slowed down and to the point where they couldn't pay for such a large space. Because they actually had a place where actually you could sit down and so forth. Now that they're part of a farmer's market, so they have a small area to sit down, but nothing like they had. And at one point they actually brought in bands. I'm not sure if they paid them at all, but they have little free kind of shows for different local bands slash individuals who come in, and they do singing and so forth in the evening hours and so forth. That was kind of cool. I never went to one of those. I definitely enjoyed hanging out there, and I remember I still, and just like previously, I get my tea from them. Actually, that's one thing that might be changing. They have an issue with their tea provider, which the tea provider is asking them to actually order have a larger order. They've been with the same distribution company for years when it comes to tea. And she usually orders like $300 worth of tea, and they're asking to order $600 worth of tea. That's nuts. They might actually have to stop selling tea, or find a
If they don't have the volume of
different people.
sales, yeah, it's hard. It's like one of the easiest things to save money on is not getting your Starbucks coffee, not getting your brand name whatever latte from some place that costs $10 when you can spend, what a lot of people might spend on one coffee could be like, that's half my coffee budget for the month or more. It's like, if I get the big little drum-o coffee for like $11 on sale, that thing lasts me for like a month or so. And it's like some people will spend more than that in like one trip to Starbucks. So it's
Agreed.
one of
Well,
those
and the
things.
thing is, when it comes to Starbucks, is I feel like this is kind of reminds me of a place, a breakfast place called Tomcat, which is closed and gone at the moment, and it's a true travesty that that place closed. But I understand that actually the original owner of Tomcat really wanted to move on and do something else other than breakfast and so forth. And so they found they sold the place. Didn't sell the restaurant, they sold the location. But they relocated down to Virginia. But anyway, the and that is basically there's I actually met up with a chef who worked at a diner place in the Reading area. I think he came to Tomcat and basically said, you're eating dessert. And like actually, for the most part, that is true. Because they make up these hot pancakes, you know, with strawberries and whipped cream and all this kind of thing. And basically they're making desserts out of breakfast food. And that's fine. Hey, though I was more of a person of eating like their burritos. And those were not like that. They weren't sweet like that. But anyhow, that's what basically what Starbucks is doing. They're selling a dessert in a coffee mug. Actually, we have another place around here called Seven Brews. It's more of a, I think it's a local chain. I know it's definitely a chain, because there's another store on the other side of Reading. But you know, again, they sell a lot of basically very sweetened coffees. You know, so it does it doesn't you lo lose you just have that kind of mocha flavor, that's about it. You know, it's like, well, why are you doing that? You know, when I drink coffee, I drink it black. So, of course, original reason I did that was mainly because of just because of carbs. That was when I was on low carb diet. I'm no longer doing well. Actually, I'm kind of doing a low carb diet now to a certain degree. Just I've cut out lots of sugar from my diet, so I'm sure I've told you before, which is my doctor was screaming at me because of my HA1C was way too high. So, you know, I got my 3 month, and they said, yeah, okay, your numbers are better. And I looked at them, and they're basically the same numbers I had as of like over a year ago. So I brought them back to what I consider a normal level. But, you know, yeah. Well, have to wait and see how that whole thing goes with my doctor when it comes to that. But anyway, onward forward from coffee and diets, I guess. What we eat. And hopefully that, you know, this, I've AB definitely they posted this in the discussion board. Obviously, I should need post this in a more permanent place so that this will be known. And as I mentioned, that I need to double check. Actually, give me a, if you guys would just give me a sec here, because I think Al was part of this list. Yeah, that is. Let me just look at his email address. Oh, okay. Okay. This is no thing for about ADB, and this is the way they work. And that what they did is actually there is an email account for Starfleetgames.com called SFU Rangers, and the idea that's for the Ranger stuff, and that's what they're using. Al's using, which is SFU Rangers at Starfleetgames.com. So that is the email address if you need to contact him, which is the deputy terminate marshal. So I'll check with ADB if they want me he wants me to post that email address or how he wants me to communicate that. That might be just purely a reminder when people, you know, when we first start each tournament to send out, okay, these are email addresses for the people that need that if you need to contact, you have them. That kind of thing. But I definitely need to post this in a more permanent site just so that do like that. Don't mind me. I'm trying to bring this. Yeah, there it is. Well, So that people can contact him, because what's the point of having Al as the deputy permanent marshal if you can't contact him? And when it comes to Steve Patrick, obviously they were working on him to get into the VA hospital. I think VA hospital or let me look at that real quick. Do-do-do, company. And about the company, I forget. I guess it's not in the web log. It's probably in Steve Cole's own postings. Let's look at this for a moment. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, I don't see it as part of the normal blog, which
What's he got
doesn't.
to go to the hospital for?
Different things. I forget what
No.
his medical state is at this point.
Are they just talking about like getting him there physically or scheduling?
Yeah, there, I think it's like a VA. I'm not, I was going to say hospice care, but that's not hospice. I don't see it at the moment. Let me just look one more time.
You say hospice or hospital?
I said hospice, but I'm not sure. Don't see it. He mentioned that there. Looking into having Steve Patrick in a different place than he currently is living at because of it's like one fifth the cost compared to where we're currently living at. I think it might be not living, but I think maybe
Assisted living.
getting it so he I shouldn't even brought it up because give me that's going to be company, be my guess. There it is. Found it. There it is. He's being interviewed to moving into a VA nursing home, which costs a fifth of what is now costing for the nursing home that Steve Patrick is currently in. So, what's that?
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. Well,
Age gets us all.
yep. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah. Steve Cole in one of the F&E mentions like. That today he was only at the office for an hour while taking Leanna to treatments that are preventing blindness, which is a good thing. This is what happens when you get older. You have to worry about going blind and going deaf and have your mind going, actually, though, those I don't
What?
think there's been any studies done on this because I was reading an article that singing can help with putting for I think it was like 90%
Preventing
of
dementia.
individuals helps to put off like Alzheimer's and dementia. The whole idea of it's because I think that they've proven this fact when it comes to like doing. Something that keeps your mind active
Yeah,
helps.
it's not just singing, it's listening to music too,
Right.
especially music that is from when you were much younger. So like, music from the 60s, 70s for somebody in our age categories is like a thing that listening to like different stuff from that era it stimulates parts of your brain.
Right, exactly.
And also, yeah, that's basically it. It's how it stimulates your brain. So,
Right.
also learning new things too. Being relatively active of some a little bit of exercise, anything that helps stimulate your mind and get the blood flowing in your brain, that's all good for that stuff. So,
Exactly. Yeah,
but
so.
especially like learning new things or doing puzzles, like just doing puzzles, that's
Right,
a good thing. Anything cognitive
exactly.
that is somewhat challenging. Yeah, that's the there's yeah, there are studies out that have proven that those things help a lot with the offset of it. And there's also some recent developments where they're finding I think they said they found a cure for it, like a chemical cure, so that's promising. So
Agreed.
there's that. A
This.
When you're done talk when we're done with this, you got a couple minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
But
actually, I
I got
think.
nothing else for gamers, nothing special news. We're still going to be at the Red Lion Hotel and President's Day weekend in February, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I haven't gotten to talk to anyone who I know has a 3D printer tucked away anywhere about trying to do Lego Star Wars, building a base for the Lego part.
Yeah,
But of
because
a concept for that,
right,
I mean.
we just would need the basically the board for that.
Well, here's what I was thinking. So, something along the lines of a like on the SSD itself, you know how you have the outline and then you have all the boxes in the outline. I was thinking a base that's shaped like the ship, where all the everything could be plugged onto it. So, you know, you print out a plastic base that it's literally scaled for the Legos, and you plug the Legos onto the base. It can look like the ship too if you wanted it to. I mean, there's nothing too horribly bad about that, but I would say, you know, just kind of a semi-flat 3D base to accept the Legos on it could be a big thing. Whether or not it, how much it looks like the models that you have for the game or the artwork, and that would be entirely up to the person doing the STL model for the 3D printing. So there's that. It's like I know one person who said she has a 3D printer, but I haven't gotten out to any events where I'd see her, and I haven't really tried to contact her through Facebook,
I know the person you're
but I
talking
did
about.
ask somebody else that knows her to talk to her about it if they see her. So, or and it's almost like I almost want to dust off the pocketbook to get one, but I don't because of my living situation.
Right,
So,
right. I think that would not be a good idea for you.
there's that. But yeah, now that you got me started on that. But the one of the issues that I thought about that could be really kind of cool and different would be what if, in addition to having like the 3D Lego set up, you could do it with a moderator for the game where like you as a moderator, Paul, would have like maybe the map in front of you with all the counters. And the players are telling you what they want to do, but they're separate of each other, and it'd be kind of like Battleship for adults. And you just feed back to them what they have to knock off their ships. Kind of like, oh, what was the name of that thing? Artemis. Do you remember that?
No.
Where they had the like five or six people doing a Starship Command
Oh,
crew with
yeah.
that thing Amanda ran years ago. Kind of like that, but not that involved. It's just that it gets involved because you'd have a referee. And like you couldn't really see the other person's ship because they might be like a table away from you. So like that would kind of represent them being like thousands of kilometers away. It's just kind of a random thought. Because that way you can say to them, yeah, it looks like he's about so many thousands of kilometers away, instead of giving them the exact wargaming thing. So instead you might say, oh yeah, they're 80,000 kilometers away and they launched four missiles, four drones, four thingamajiggers, you know what I mean. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't looked at the new expansion for Eve, I think you're really going to like it when you do.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to
I'm going
look
to say
at.
this because you know how persnickety I am with stuff sometimes. This is their best expansion ever as far as the mining stuff goes.
Oh, great.
They didn't completely redo it, but they made some significant upgrades in the mining thing. They added a new mining ship altogether,
Oh, awesome.
which you can't get yet, not cheaply, because it's gold rush time on it.
Right.
And but they also, like, when you're mining, just to give you a clue about some of the things they did, your survey scanner is now an inactive module. It's a passive module that gives you bonuses. You don't need it on your ship to use it. There is a scanning function for the mining ships. That's an extra button on your ship display thing. But one of the cool things that they did that's visually helpful is, you know how when you target like an NPC or an enemy ship, you can see how much shields they have left as you're hitting it and stuff? They did the same thing for rocks. So now when a rock has been mined a bit, you can see the display that shows you how much of the original thing is left. And they redid the sensor thing for it. There's a whole, it's interesting. I really like it. And of all the expansions that I've seen in the game so far in 13 years, I give this one, it's the only one I'm giving a full thumbs up on. So that says a lot. Because most of the time, well, a lot of the times, CCP games has been like the poster children for the law of unintended consequences. And in this case, I think they learned, either they finally learned some, or they just kind of got it right by accident. I'll take it either way. Oh, and they've
Maybe that, or maybe
added
they actually
back into the
listened
game.
to their counsel.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but they've added back into the game some the green warp twos, like for mining, along with, I think they said they added some, I'd have to double check the patch notes. They added some scan down mining sites, and you can get escalation mining sites, like you can get escalation security sites. So yeah, that's interesting. So there are some like low sec ores that you can now get in high sec if you just fly around and look for where the thing is spawned into a system, like the other green anomaly ones that you can warp right to. So there's that. Just thought I'd let you know about that.
Okay, well, let me wrap up things here then.
Okay, and then I do have something for you afterwards.
Right.
Thanks.
Understood. Yes. Okay, well, you have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
You're welcome. Okay. So, had a nice little talk about the latest updates for the tournament rules. I'm hoping that you enjoyed it, and obviously, as I said, I got to find a place to post it up permanently. Probably it's going to be has to be an online tournament. It's going to be on the website. I need to add the page and so forth, and definitely add a link when it comes to tournaments to that page. And obviously, when it comes to when the announcement I sent out this weekend, that it will then have the reminder about the free tickets for those individuals who have not played in 2024 or 2025. When it comes to the Sapphire Star tournaments that have been done in those two. Obviously, if you played in one of the campaigns or just played, against a friend or whatever, then you're definitely eligible. So hopefully that'll encourage people to sign up, and we'll have more people and more quickly to sign up for the Sapphire Star tournament. And then it'd be great to have actually more people sign up than we actually have slots. Be fantastic to see. Well, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.